أخبى أخبى.
Better. It is better.
Hello.
You see, I didn't realise how... I know men can get very possessive over certain things, but I didn't realise when I said earlier on this is the greatest Aruga anyone has in their car, I was going to start some kind of drop the flag on a race where lots of men came in and said, that's not an Aruga, and we've had at least three other men coming in saying, I've got a better Aruga on my car. But you claim to have the ultimate Aruga, don't you?
Absolutely.
Tell us about it.
On a 40-foot mobile first aid unit.
Hmm. Now, a 40-foot mobile
first aid unit.
Okay, so it's a mobile first aid unit. Where did you come by the Aruga? Was it come with a kit?
No, it actually came from an old army base where they used to use the Aruga horn as a warning for when they were sending off ammunition and bombs.
You see, this has to be a very powerful Aruga. This has to be a Aruga to be distinguished from other Arugas. We are not playing around here. We've got bombs. Now, and how did you come by it?
One of our members kindly donated it and decided to stick it on one of our first mobile units, which was an X across Jumberland. But we've recently got rid of that and purchased a brand new 40-foot Bascom version, which is a mobile first aid unit cum ambulance.
Well, well done. And the crowning glory of this is your Aruga, is it?
It certainly is.
Well, everyone knows I'm teasing. I'm saying, yes, 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 can we get on to the meat and the res? Well, most men seem to be doing that. How is it cranked?
It's a little bum, so what I'll do is I'll leave the phone by the Aruga horn so you get the full effect, and I'll jump on and give you two Arugas, and I'll come back on the phone.
Ladies and gentlemen, we seem to have arrived at our ultimate journey. You just heard Bruce Springsteen. He's playing support to this. It's a man who says, oh, you don't get good Arugas anymore, I'll be the judge of that. My friend Adrian, in your own time.
Okay, hang on.
But hold back, Adrian. Adrian.
Yeah.
Adrian. I think it was only just clearing its throat then. I think you can hit that with even more power. You've done two. I want to hear three.
You want to hear?
Three, yeah. Now he's got his sleeve rolled up.
Right, hang on a moment.
BBC London.
Well, my highlight, as hopefully you will know, I'm well involved with the London Scholars.
Yeah.
London's premier rugby league team. Well,
we're at the
Broncos / Harlequins.
All right, yeah.
We were playing up at Gateshead. We were playing Gateshead Thunder away. Our usual
Did you just speed up your voice then?
He's a man with two voices, Dan.
Yeah, but he should have some kind of clutch on them. okay.
I'm just changed down into second then.
Go on then, yeah.
Gateshead Thunder away. Our usual physio couldn't come, so he said, don't worry, I've spoken to Gateshead Thunder, they've got spare physio that can act as team physio.
Spare physio?
There's Rich. Yeah.
No problem at all. So we get up there, and I said, I was organising everything, the players were coming in and getting everything sorted. I said, oh, where's the physio? Oh yeah, he'll be along shortly. So about 5 minutes later, I'm getting all the kit laid out, getting everything lined up, knock at the door. In comes this chap, one of the officials of Gateshead, holding on his arm, another chap, said, oh, here's your physio, your physio, and here's Victory's guide dog.
Well, I don't know. Does that affect a physio being I think it does. Yeah, okay.
So when he says to you, where does it hurt, he really wants to know.
where is he?
Yeah.
So did at any point he come rushing onto the pitch?
Who does it hurt?
Well, at that point, I looked at the coach. The coach looked at me, and we thought, oh, right, okay. Yeah. Now, what he was used to, what this old boy, it was a lovely old...
He was an old boy as well. Okay.
Old boy. What he was used to was just doing, sports massage.
Yeah. Massage.
Yeah.
Not running onto the pitch tending to injuries.
Yeah, okay.
Because he had to sit in one of the disabled seats at the front with his guide dog next to him.
Okay, yeah.
And the worst thing is, I always lay out bananas and Jaffa cakes for the players to eat.
Good, yeah.
The dog's going around eating them.
Oh, the Gateshead Thunder have got a lot to answer for.
before. The hell did it pan out in the end? I mean, was it any use?
Yes, no, he was very good. He did a good pre-match rub, and luckily there was another physio that we could actually use to actually run on.
But how did you break it to the blind physio? Sorry, mate, you know, it may be like a piano tuner. That's usually what, quote, they do.
Yeah.
Couldn't he play the body like an instrument?
Your thing.
He could do all the good bits and pieces. He could do the pre-match stuff, but he couldn't run on.
Yeah. And but you never had to use him since.
No.
No, I've got a terrific. I'm laughing on the outside, but I'm crying on the inside.
It's a little bit funny. It's feeling inside.
See, let me tell you why I'm going to sing this. I had to go to the doctors this morning about this cyst on the neck.
Right.
And they've got to operate on it. They're going to have to take some time off. They've got to do that. And he said, I'm going to have to warn you about the dangers of the operation. And as they do.
Yes, they have to.
And he said, I'm aware you're an entertainer. I said, yeah. He said, is singing part of your... And I said, it's the core. It's the central...
It's
the heart, indeed. It is the centre pole of my entertainment bonfire. He said, you won't be able to sing for about 6 weeks after the operation, and there may be some deterioration in your upper register.
Not your
upper
register.
Ladies and gentlemen, I may never sing again. So, let us gather your nuts while you may.
If this is my song, and this one's for you.
The tone will change entirely, Elliot.
And you can tell everybody...
When I come back, he'll be,
this is your song.
I may never sing again. He said he's going to do his best. He said, but it's laying on the vocal nerve. There may be some deterioration in the upper register.
Your legendary treble.
In my impressive 6-octave range, there may be a little deterioration.
You may never hit another top F.
How wonderful life is while you're in the world.
Come on, everybody. I sat on the roof and kicked off the moss. That's how this next bit starts. On Valentine's Day, look deep within the mirror, into your own eyes. I sat on the roof. Go! Kicked off the moss. Well, a few of the verses.
It got me quite cross.
But the sun's been quite kind.
Good afternoon, Candyman.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. There's your pound. Chris, what have you got for us in terms of your psychological profile by your draw?
Well, amongst all the other two that everybody else has mentioned, we have our dog's ashes.
Oh, man! We're doing generic toot, as you say, and generic profiles, but occasionally we're getting one from left space that makes us all go, wah? I don't think I reacted strongly enough to that. You have, in your kitchen drawer, amongst all the regular stuff... Including old Christmas cards. Tell me again what it is and I'll react appropriately.
We've got the ashes of our dead dog.
Man, that's something. How comes?
Well, we can't really bear to part with the ashes.
Yeah.
It was a lovely dog.
Yeah.
A lovely dog. But we don't like to have it on display because it kind of...
But the kitchen drawer?
Well, where else would we put it?
Well, somewhere that might be respect. Have a little something major. Just keep in your bedroom.
Sure.
What was his name?
It's a her, Joan.
There you go. Well, mind you, it would freak people out, wouldn't it, Sam? That's Joan's ashes.
Yes, it's not so good on the mantelpiece, really.
Is there no way that Joan would like them scattered?
Well, she didn't really say. We could scatter them in the garden, but everyone does that, so we just keep it inside.
Do you not live near a heath?
We do live near a park, yeah.
Yeah.
We could scatter in Broomfield Park.
What happens is, you know, what happens now? The local council ring, I'll go, oh, no, you need 7 permits because, you know, that's how the Great Plague got started. But that's a lot of nonsense. And I believe when you are ready to do this, you know, we will... I think, and I'm serious here, I know you think, oh, yeah, you're co-opting this to get a bit out of it. But I do feel here, Chris, that we could give Joan the send-off that... Plainly, dog lovers everywhere are saying, no, that's not good. That's just not good having the dog in the kitchen drawer.
No.
We should give... if I can find the... Here's something we can do here, hang on.
The dog did spend a lot of time in the kitchen.
I thought you said the dog's still alive for a second there. I was nearly really nearly creeped out by you. Hang on, I've got some. Yes, I've got the proper music here. Here we go. So what we'll do is, well, when the day arrives, we'll have a proper ceremony, and I've got some good church music. And I think you should scatter it. What's your park?
Broomfield Park in Southgate. Right.
Yeah.
Green, Southgate.
I've got a little chapel music, and I'll have it over it. And you know, you can just once more go, Joan, Joan, and. and Joan will blow away. Set her free. It's a rotten thing to do.
Well, I could take the ashes into the park tomorrow and set her free on air if you want.
That's exactly, bless you. Yeah. Bless her, that's exactly what I'm after. I'm just looking to see if I've got some appropriate music. One second, give me a minute. Here we go. You see, this is the sort of thing. We'll all gather here, and you can get other people you know up on the air, and we'll get this sort of thing going on. Oh, yeah, thanks for coming. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you. Yeah, we're good. About 5 minutes. We're just having a moment to remember. Yes, that's a collar. Yeah, we kept that too. Yeah, yeah. It's a... Oh, where is she? You want to see her? In there. No, not the knife drawer. No, not... Go down one. That's the tea towels. Darling, where is Joan? Oh, right at the bottom there. You can just go in. No, no. Yes. Don't breathe too heavily, because she'll puff away. She'll puff away. Join us tomorrow for a farewell to Joan, the dog who's currently licking a kitchen drawer. Are you friend or family or BBC? BBC? Okay, over there. In fact, everybody hears BBC. It's just the two at the front. Oh, just the one. She's gone home, has she? We'll just sit next to him then. I haven't had a chance to use this music. It's super.
I wonder why.
Or doziest listener. The window on this is strictly shut, but nevertheless, if it's good enough. The first time I had to send a fax, I photocopied the document in question before putting it in the machine, because I thought it was going to disintegrate and teleport through. I thought it was going to disintegrate and teleport through to the other side before reassembling back down in London. I was a 27-year-old honours graduate at the time, though in my defence... No, there is no defence, he says. That is a superb Rob. I'm saying you're our funniest listener. That is a terrific thing to admit that. What else?
Claire in Woking says, most gullible, which we have good. Somebody's mother.
We can change it if it's a good thing.
Yeah, the girlfriend category. Of a friend of mine asked us if the budgie that we had was ours. And my husband said, no, we're renting it.
And they took it on board.
She thought, oh,
they're
nice.
They just took it on board. That is just something. I've never known anything like that. You thought if you put it in there.
If you put it in there, it sort of teleports.
You heard a noise like the TARDIS.
It's down the wire. And then like Captain Kirk.
That is a terrific.
Reappears at the other end.
That is an absolutely fantastic. Well, the Ghost of Christmas Past. The rhythm stick. 79 was number one at this time in 1979, yeah. I believe. Welcome, everyone. This is the BBC London 94.9 Comprehensive Sports Roundup of the Year. And if we haven't mentioned your team yet, we certainly are going to get around to it. We've got various competitions on the go, including this one. Which team is this leaving for an away game? £17,000 to the winner of that, if you can get that one particularly in the bag. 0207-224-2000, even though this is a recorded show. And the number one competition is now £70,000. Tell us what two teams we've decided are playing in this game.
Great ball by two. Chance to stretch his legs out to now. In the area, right-hand side. In comes the cross. Tedder into the back of the net. Wonderful stuff from it is. Nil. One. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how to play football.
As if you didn't know, that is how to play football. And I know whereof I speak. Yeah, we've got to have a sports leading sports personalities playing instruments down the phone. Danny's reminding me as we go along of the various things this happened during the year that I can then say, did that happen this year? Because I haven't seen the sports
event
for ages.
And you asked me earlier on about the mighty Tottenham Hotspur, and you asked me to look you in the eye and say they weren't bad. Hmm. There was a moment when the air was coming out of the tyre, it got extraordinary. Speed, wasn't it? Do you remember?
No.
But there was a few, just 18 months ago, they had the dream team. Former manager of France.
Oh, Jack yes.
Santini, assistant manager, former coach of Arvin Volvic, Martignol. And the greatest scout and general manager of football clubs the world's ever seen, Mr. Frank Arneson. And how I walked up and down the high street.
Yes, I remember you walking up.
Glory days up here again. All that. Santini goes, no problem, because the only English word he knew, as you remember, your club is in the division where he plays. Yeah. I should do my famous impression of Jacques Santini. Who do you think might be a danger today, Jacques?
Ugh.
I'm sorry, Jacques, I didn't get that. Jacques, who do you think might be the danger to Tottenham today?
Ugh.
Huckabee, Darren Huckabee. Who do you think is going to be the big problem?
Huckabuck.
That's a terrific. I didn't know you had that.
I used to,
wonderful.
Oh, I used to do the Huckabuck all the time. Then Huckabee.
Yeah, Huckabuck.
Oh, that, I'm sorry, Dan.
Anyway,
I must listen more closely.
During the summer, well, you know, you're flicking through CPAC's ID. Sorry, all 174 calls there would be, the guy's no good. And blah, blah. Arsene off to Chelsea. Yeah. It's not the saviour, the messiah, the only thing that matters. Even Arsenal fan, he's very good, isn't he? See all this, the young players he knows. Oh, he's very good, isn't he? And the first sign of the carrier from down at that end of the Fulham Road. And, excuse me, bye-bye now.
So that was your equivalent of what happened to us. That was your incident for that.
Steve Claridge, yeah.
Claridge.
And Arsene, I mean, I don't know what the Danish is for two fingers, but that's clearly what he's probably getting.
It possibly is. Session musicians in the early 60s got together in some Louisiana studio and made this song.
Bit of Farfisa organ there.
Yeah, it's okay. And it's often happened. They thought, well, have we got something here? Is this a groove? Is it an instrumental? That's an instrumental. Until I said, anyone got anything for this? Step forward. Somebody in that studio said, I've got something. It's more of a scat. It's not really, whatever. And so,
Give it a go.
Djembo was born. Ladies and gentlemen, the full version now of Djembo, including the vocals. That's your X Factor right there, isn't it? I think. Stories of Lois can be followed every day at about this time, providing what time the show is going out at. But she's always good for a beef story. Bless you, Lois. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Lois. I can add something. Of course, you can put that sound effect up again. Uh-huh. Okay, you've heard this from me before. I think it's worth repeating.
Go on.
My time on British Rail, my only ever contact with the dead.
Is this Funk and Funko? ladies and gentlemen, the word Funk and Funko. I know this is not strictly part of the sport review of the year.
Oh, come on.
But this is, it's never stopped us before.
I worked at Victoria's, I was the area manager's clerk, a very puffed up position indeed, and in fact that means I had loads of responsibility and no power.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's long enough ago there was a teleprinter clacking away like 20 to 5 on a Saturday afternoon, clacking away.
Yeah.
And so it's Coulsdon, 7:44 up from Coulsdon, has got an oil leak and all this sort of thing. And then suddenly, every now and again, blank the word funk would come up. Okay, this is fine. Yeah. Funk means there's a coffin in the guards van with a dead body in it. Okay, here comes. So funk gets someone
means body.
Body in a coffin specifically.
This is our Christmas story. It's a ghost story at Christmas.
Get someone down to the platform and get that dead body who's clearly going to be buried in a London cemetery. Mm. Get off the train. Much more frightening and much more infrequent was when the word Funko would appear.
Uh-huh.
Funko was when some git down at one of the local
This comes through on the Telegraph as well.
Yeah, of course. Oh no, there's a Funko. What they would do, because they couldn't be bothered, but it was Victoria, they've got loads of stuff on Victoria. If somebody died on the train, had a heart attack and physically died, instead of taking the body off and getting the coroner or anything like that, get the other passengers out of the carriage, lock it up and just send it up to Victoria with a message, unaccompanied body on its way.
I can only apologise, ladies and gentlemen, but nevertheless, as we're telling ghost stories at Christmas, that's pretty good. Because the sound effect you hear when you get Funko, I mean, if you say the word Funko, this is exactly what runs through your head. So, what's the message say? What's the word?
The 712's coming up from Croydon. Funko!
Martin, thanks for hanging on for Mida in a Million Years. Martin, it's our old friend, which I thought it was just going to be a side dish to the main meals today, about inanimate objects that play the opening note of well-known songs. What do you have for us?
Well, I've got an old printer, like a computer printer.
Yeah.
Every time it warms up, and I've been saying it for years, and I thought I was the only person who could hear it. I said it to my wife, and she looked at me blankly.
Yeah, but women, wives never like to hear things. They don't. So you can hear that, can't you? They won't see things either, you know. I haven't got time for that. Yeah, go on, what?
Right, okay. Susie said go and record this. I did. I've recorded it on my phone. I'm leaving mobile.
Yeah.
And there's a few little bleeps to start off with. Then you'll hear it when it starts.
Pretty warnings, because we can be the judge then. What are we about to hear?
Well, it goes, like I said in an email, it goes da 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 da.
I was going to say, because I was unaware you were the same person who contacted us, and I did ask you to call in. So, again, the object is a what?
It's an Epson printer.
And when it warms up, it steals a march on Gary Newman's friend's electric. Okay, and you've recorded it for us. Good
night. I did indeed. Right, are you ready?
Off you go, Martin, of course.
Right, I've cleaned my throat here. Right, ready?
What? That's not just a little bit like it. Gary Newman should get a sixpence every time you print something. I'm sorry.
I suspect the relationship works in reverse in that particular song, doesn't it?
Let's try it again. Set it up for me, because I want to hear this and want to record this, so we've always got it. So if ever I'm fumbling around like I do for a tune, then we can put this on and everyone will know. Here we go again.
Right, it's right at the end of this. Right.
Go on then. Mm-hmm.
Right, here we go. Right, it's going to come. Right, it's going to come
in your own time. It's your go on.
Here we go.
That, my friend, is on the phone. Thank you very much, Martin in Kensal Green.
Computer printers seem to be the new musicians.
It's a printer that plays.
Full of them here.
Plays. Let's go. What's changed since the breakfast show?
Yes, indeed.
And we pointed out, I've got these little Tupperware.
You have little Tupperware boxes
for my mini discs. There was one other thing, I think. I don't know, I've got a new T-shirt. But I forgot you. There's also this there's this song, which we play on here. And it's about somebody at the station. It's about one of the presenters. I'm never allowed to say it, but it's about one of the presenters.
Presenters.
This is the song we often play here. Listen to this. See if you can get it. You'll get it straight away.
I love me, I'm wild about myself. I love me, my picture's on my shelf. You may not think I look so good, but me thinks I'm just fine. It's grand when I look in my eyes and know that I'm all mine. I love me, and my love doesn't bore. Day by day, in every way, I love me more and more. Myself and me, we have a fight, and I can't fall asleep at night. Till I kiss me, then I'm all right, I'm wild about myself.
Hello, mate.
Thank you, Phil, hanging on there. Balin thinks this is a unifying thing. I don't know if it's indigenous to Britain, but we all have a drawer, and if you're looking for a fuse, if you're looking for a three-point plug, have a look. I think there's one in the drawer, even though the house is full of them. What have you got for us?
We were demolishing a chest of drawers.
It's a chest of drawers.
Ah,
okay. Yeah.
We opened and took them out. We got to the bottom one.
I can't hear a word you're saying.
We got to the bottom one.
Yeah.
We found a 2.2 handgun with four boxes of bullets.
Oh, dear Lord! What do you mean you found it? Somebody absentmindedly put it there last week? What do you mean?
Apparently the landlord saw this guy on Crime Watch, his tenant.
Yeah?
And
you were idly going around looking. What were you looking for? Some soap?
No, we were just taking it to bits.
Oh, you were just taking it to bits?
Yeah, we were building.
Oh, I see. Now I'm with you. I was going to say, everyone, there are certain parts of our houses under the floorboards and that where we find stuff. And there was a 2.2 handgun.
And four boxes full of it.
So you obviously, went out in the backyard and started shooting things up, did you?
We had two ladders with a scaffolding plank.
Yeah.
four coats in, and we spent our afternoon.
Good man. You know what? I thought you were going to say, no, no, we handed it straight in. I was just being facetious, saying you went out in the yard and started shooting things up. And you did. Did anyone not get in touch and say,
There's a gun club on the other side of the river where we were working.
Yeah.
Got lost in the noise of that, you know.
Well, man, you know, thank you very much indeed, Phil. Phil sounded such a mild-mannered man there. He didn't like the type whose eyes would light up when he chances across a gun in a drawer. Now, a drawer stories are completely separate from the drawer stories. Yeah. We're after stories about both, but mainly about the drawer. And here comes, take it to the police station in the end, says a legally minded
yes.
there. In case anyone thinks that rather loner-type voice there. last thing we want to read about Phil in Acton. The last thing we want to hear about Phil in Acton is one of those stories that has the phrase in it, before turning the gun on himself. That's the last thing we need.
We'll take a bit of the fun out of it.
He took it to the police station. Here's Freddie. Freddie!
Hello!
Nah, at last. A voice
of
you don't know how glad I'm to hear a very clear, unmuddied voice all of a sudden. Freddie, there's a fella running around in where there is with a handgun. Freddie, what have you got for us? This is about things you found inside archaeology within your own house. Mm-hmm. This is from Graham, right? And Graham says, when my mother moved house, I was helping her clear out the cupboards. I came across a box which was marked Magic Wand. Inside it was a contraption similar in shape to a World War II German hand grenade, but with an electric lead and plug on it. What's this, Mum? I said. Your dad used to sell them in the 1960s. What is it? It's what people used to use to heat their bath in the days when not everyone had hot water. On tap, like. Frankly, I didn't believe it.
Frankly, I think you're right.
But then she produced the pamphlet. The magic wand. Be kind to plug in electric to the magic wand. Put now in water that cold is in the bath when the water is hot. Have your bath, please, in the water. Warning for you, please, if in bath you are and electric you feel in the bones, leave the bath when soonest and do not get back in bath while water is electric.
Leave the bath, presumably by
soonest.
Shooting bolt upright 15 feet
exactly.
into the air.
Those are the exact instructions, says Graham. No wonder Dad had to give a free transistor radio to anyone who bought one. As a child, I was brought up in Zambia, and one holiday we took a family trip to see the wonder that is near Victoria Falls. It was a long journey down, and my eldest brother David, who to this day is fond of his dinner, was mithering about how hungry he was. The promise of a picnic on the banks of the Zambezi placated him for the time being. As we arrived at the picnic spot, we got out in a leafy picnic area with the sound of the thundering falls in the distance. Best I've got. It's not thundering, but it's all right. No. Best of thundering falls. It is. Okay. David soon filled his plate and we sat down to eat. Whereupon, in a Jungle Book style, a few monkeys, Columbus, jumped out and grabbed his plate and jumped back into the trees. He went puce. The sight of the carrot-topped, pale-skinned, beetroot-red screaming child was funny enough, but the fact that the monkeys sat within inches of David, taunting him, lifting his food towards him, and then snapping it back out of reach was too much for the rest of us. He got so frustrated, he took off his shoes, and he hurled them. Of course, he missed them. And both of his shoes, the only shoes he had on him, went flying into the Zambezi. Other words, the atmosphere there, but... He refused to come out of the car when we finally reached the falls, preferring to stay in, his veins now bulging hot in the Volvo, furious still and humiliated. Don't want to see the falls, he said. Come on, ground's not that wet. Don't want to see the falls, he said. He never saw the falls, but worse still, we never saw his shoes going over the falls. That's some story. Yeah, that's a terrific story, and beautifully realised by the BBC London 94.9 Repertory Theatre sitting over here, by the way. That was see, if you ring us up about any of the carry-on films, not about the films, the actual titles of them, and say, yeah, I've got a story about cruising, I've got a story about a sergeant, any of these, even though we've had sergeant, I'll do my best to bring the story to life.
Well, there's real juice in it. I'm standing here with a young 14-year-old boy in front of me.
Oh!
Well done.
You're the Madame Curie of radio. And now, you've got, we asked earlier, somebody says it can revive blue tack. Now, give us I said if we can get a whole piece of blue tack and a teenager, we've got this going on. Describe for us your stooge here and give him an extra dollar. Who have you got there?
I've got young Tom, who's 14.
Yeah.
Who's looking rather red at the moment.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
And come in, Tom. Don't go. He's trying to run away.
No, he mustn't run away because, this is the frontiers of science and not a home domestic economy, I think is what they are. Home domestic science. Is he erupting around the hooter right now?
Oh, it's huge.
please, we don't want to always corrupt the kid and think that radio is a bad thing, but lay it on thick, would you? So, and have you got a piece of blue tack that's out of date?
I've got an old out-of-date piece of blue tack, and I'm going to place it on the hooter right now.
We've got to give this the full... I'm trying to find the... very good, thank you very much. Here we go. We're trying to put a little bit of suspense into this. Now, it's definitely hard, the blue tack, as we speak.
It's very hard.
All right. Could you get him just to shout out hello, just so we know...
Say hello, Tom. Hello.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Okay, bless you, Tom. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. We are now going through into the fourth dimension. We're through the looking glass here, people. A piece of hard blue tack and a 14-year-old teenager's nose. There may be some correlation thus far overlooked by general, normal, straight science. In your own time, Dave, what have we got? Come on, where you go?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Right, here we go.
What's happening? How much?
I might have to squeeze a nose to get a bit.
You may need to get two thumbs and spring some fresh deposits.
Might have to get a wardrobe key and get the end of the blackheads out.
I think I just heard him yelp. Let's not get carried away.
Are you ready?
Yeah. No. There she blows.
No. Yes. Yeah.
What? What's happened? What has happened?
It's soft.
It isn't, is it really?
It is.
What an absolute... See, hitherto, this show, you had no idea, did you? You'd throw away blue tech. You lost £500,000 last year in throwing away blue tech. And how's the patient? How's he doing?
He's trying to run out the door.
Yeah, well, and it's generally gone soft.
It's gone soft, yeah.
What an extraordinary...
It's not really soft, but
it's ladies and gentlemen, you know... thank us later. Thank us later. Yes. Whatever else happens, thank us later. Here's the dawn. What a great experiment that was.
Revive your old blue tack.
Revives a year-old blue tack. All you need is a teenager's nose and raging hormones. Here comes Dawn. Dawn!
Hello, Danny.
Dawn, I'm sorry to make you follow that. Right, that's transplendent. He's chasing the kid around the house now with every bit of old blue tack he can find. But it's nice to know that in nature abhors a vacuum. Didn't want it just to be mopped away by one of these agents they sell on kids' telly now, making them feel bad about their body grease. Now we know it has a function. Right, here we go. This is called the University of Turmoil.
Funny enough, no excuses. I don't think the pictures are as good as they were in the old days.
Doesn't matter. This is what happens is, and I have no previous knowledge of this. And
my heart. Danny, I'm shaking doing it. It's a long time, my friend, a long time.
Danny takes photos out of newspapers and magazines. He writes things on people's heads and puts incongruous headlines over them. It's all taped together. It's done manually. Poor Bootsy today. Through the ringer. Where's my magazines? Do you hear I want to do Turmoil? Could you get them for me, please? Right, I need a magic marker, I need some sellotape, and I need a folder.
They're all here.
That's Danny's general tone, though, with help. It is. Thank you. I love it when you say that. It's just like no thanks at all. Right,
I'll spread that first one out. I spread the headline out on the first one.
All right, okay, so the very first one.
Yeah.
It's one of those naive 18th century woodcut type drawings, but it's coloured in, and it's of a prize fighter, bare knuckled prize fighter, being attended between rounds by a man in a top hat. Now he looks like he's been pretty badly beaten, the boxer. He's in some kind of pub, and it looks like a small octopus is being applied to his eye, to which Danny has put an an arrow over his head saying turmoil, which is a prerequisite almost of the Udomator turmoil. Now, what headline?
So it's spread it out.
I know, I will. Yeah. So it's a 18th century woodcut, man being attended between rounds by a top-hatted man with a little octopus, and the headline on it is... Civil War wounds are reopened as Franco comes under fresh attack. There we go. The next one is... There's three photographs on this page. The first arrow helpfully says Peaches Geldof. And she looks like she might have dined, you know, well, but not too wisely, as they say. And she's got her eyes half shut. Unfortunate photograph. The word turmoil on her head. Next to her is a man who looks like he's just been inducted into some kind of City of London guild with a feathered hat. He's got turmoil on his head as well. Then there's George Michael. A photo of George Michael with the word turmoil on his 3 feet with turmoil. That is, take the words big business big shot to the fella who's inducted. Peaches Geldof, a man in ceremonial garb for the city, and George Michael. And the headline says... headline says... 8,000 extra prison places won't be enough. The next one is some kind of dog in a harness. It's one of those. It's a shame. Oh, the back of my head, I've forgotten this. There's a dog in a harness, like when a dog loses its back legs and they put two wheels instead. There's nothing adorning the photograph, no words, but the headline says, it's kind of an Alsatian dog with a harness at the back, and the headline says, officers order grandmother to remove 30-year-old sign poking fun at Jehovah's Witnesses. There's this dog with a harness. Oh, my God. Brand new departure. It's a photo. Racing commentator Peter O'Sullivan by a pair of mounted binoculars looking round at the camera. Now, for some reason, just below his trilby hat, Danny has written the word planning. Planning. Now, Peter O'Sullivan is by a pair of mounted binoculars. Oh, my head is aching. By a pair of mounted binoculars with the word planning written on his head, looking towards camera, inquisitively. And the headline says, revealed how crank claiming to be true heir aimed to cut off George the Fifth's head. Then there's a photo of Ken Dove with a tickle stick in front of Blackpool Tower, over which Danny has written, Doddy Turmoil, right? And then he's taped a little bit saying Seaside Special over this. And then the headline, does aerial bombing win wars, or does it justify existence? And the last one. Oh, I can see already what this is. Oh, man. There's a Hell's Angel on a bike with a dog, a kind of scrawny dog, who equally is wearing one of those First World War German helmets and goggles. It's a real photograph. Anyway, the Hell's Angel has got the dog on his lap, and they're both wearing crash helmets and goggles. And the headline says, how the matriarch of one of America's richest and grandest families has been reduced to living in squalor, but the dog has a thinks bubble that says, we fear change. that's all it is. Just two fat guys laughing. Our calamitous person so far. Actually, this is unluckiest. This fella Pete, all these things happened in a fortnight. Day one, he opened his month-old car door, which was taken off by a bus. Boom. He pulled over and was given a ticket by the police. Day two, his radio was stolen after the temporary cardboard door was found not to be secure enough. Day four, he was investigated by the Inland Revenue. Day six, he played five-a-side football, took a shot, hit the crossbar, came back, hit him in the mouth, removing a front tooth. It's all in a fortnight. Day seven, at his in-law's 25th anniversary, he and his girlfriend fell out as he wouldn't smile in any of the pictures because of the tooth. She blamed him for being grumpy all day and he had to sleep on the couch. Day nine, still on the couch, he went to work and his back went whilst in the office toilet, waited an hour before calling for help. Day ten, at home, he was lying on the floor because of the back and decided to use a straw while drinking his tea. He poured it all over himself, burning his face. Day 12, he had to go into work to meet the client boss, who wasn't impressed with his appearance, lacking one front tooth, a big fat lip and a red burnt face. And on day 14, he ran over his daughter's cat. That's our unluckiest person, but I think there's a distinction between unlucky and clumsy and calamitous.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Here we go. I want to perform my mate Pete for the unluckiest person. Here listed below was probably the pinnacle of his unluckiest fortnight. Now, my unlucky mate is called Pete, and I've talked about him on the show. Yeah, once
Why
I've done
Pete's
this.
Are unlucky.
I'm going to remember a list of what people's names always say about
them.
Oh,
yes. Barry's.
Barry's. It was always thick. Old Paul's.
Paul's.
Yeah, Paul's always thick. Okay. Here comes the list of his unluckiest fortnight. Day one. Opened his month-old car door, which was taken off by a bus on the way home, with door and back seat, was pulled over by the police and given a ticket. So he opened his car door, a bus came by and took it off. Mm-hmm. And that happens. That's bad enough. The next day, the radio was stolen after he found his temporary cardboard door wasn't that secure. He put a cardboard
door. They really
door
are.
On day four, he was investigated by the Inland Revenue. On day six, he played a five-a-side football match and took a shot that hit the crossbar and then came back, hit him in the mouth, took out his tooth. Same way. We've got a field recording of that. Of course we've got a field recording of that. There it is, right in the background there, you probably heard that. On day seven of this fortnight, his in-law's 25th wedding anniversary party, his girlfriend fell out with him as he wouldn't smile in any of the pictures, and he had to go home and sleep on the couch. They fell out for a long while. Day nine, still on the couch, he went to work, and his back went whilst in the office toilet, and he waited an hour before calling for help. Day 10 of this fortnight, he was laying at home on the floor because of the back and decided not to use a straw while drinking his tea. He poured it over himself, burning his face. Day 12 of this terrible fortnight of this famous Pete, he had to go into work to meet a client boss who was not impressed with his appearance. He was not impressed with his appearance, given that he was lacking one front tooth, had a fat lip and a burnt red face. And on day 14 of this fortnight, just after uttering, "Well, that's got to be it. Nothing else can happen to me," he ran over his daughter's cat in the car with the cardboard door. That is the unluckiest person anyone's ever
even,
met.
Even with a 5-minute objection window open.
No, I don't think anyone's
no
going to be
there. Squeeze through that.
Obviously, being close friends, Pete is a source of constant amusement. If anything is going to happen, it will always happen to him. And my friend Pete is exactly that. Old Peter King, I've mentioned him many times. Three times in one day he had calamities. And I never tire of telling this. Forgive me if you've heard it many, many times. But Pete was a brewer's drayman. He used to work for Theakston's. And one day when he was out on the round, the first thing that happened, they stopped at one of these motorway, you know, hot dog stands and all of that. And Pete offered got a hot dog. And as he walked away, he noticed they hadn't put onions on it. So turned to offer his hot dog up at the counter there. It was one of those at the side of a lorry.
Right.
And as he held it above the... there was a gap where he'd been. Now, somebody filled it, of course, to place their order. He held his hot dog above and shouted, "Could put onions in that, could you?" At that moment, the dog slipped out of the bun and straight into someone's tea. And a big workman, like in a situation comedy, turned and went, "What's your idea?" He said, "Sorry, mate, I'll get you that." There's one. Mm-hmm. About an hour later, they were in the pub, and he wanted to play darts. And they said, "Well, there's a bit of a cupid of darts. You can chalk for a while, and you'll be on next." He said, "Yeah." So we started chalking for this game an hour after pouring a hot dog into somebody's tea. And as he was chalking, waiting for the next person up, he threw the chalk in the air and kept catching it. And he threw it in the air and catch it. And then he threw it in the air again, and it was just behind his head. And he leant back, but leant back too far, and there was a table full of gins and tonics and rums and cokes and pints of lager straight over there. He jumped straight up and said, "I'll get everyone what they were drinking." That's two. He thought he's had a bad day. When he came home from work, he lives in a block of flats down at Surrey Docks, and he was dropped off from the lorry and thought, "Well, that's been a rotten day. It's been rotten. I'm wet. I've lost a lot of money. I've been humiliated. I bet the lifts aren't working." But as he looked across, he saw the lift door was open and two or three people just gathered there. He stormed across the road shouting out the whilst, "Hold on! Hold on! Hold on!" burst into the lobby of his block of flats there and leapt fully 12 feet into the lift before the door could shut. As he landed, they said, "That's not working, mate. We're all waiting for this one."
Yes, I knew that.
in Brentwood. We've got to give a couple. It's Len in Brentwood. Len!
Good evening, Len.
Good evening, everyone. We've got no idea what time the show's going out, or indeed... it's not going out at all. Okay, there you go. So the floor's yours, Len, but the ceiling is ours. So, Len, what have you got for us?
Just really a sporting highlight, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's every time you see Thierry Henry running out with his short-sleeve shirt,
yeah,
plus the gloves.
Yeah.
Elbow protection there whatsoever.
And they're freely available at Halfords.
And I describe him and the Spurs left-back to Lee Young-Pyo. He also does it, doesn't he? Young-Pyo Lee. Several others. These are people, and in the case of Henry, it's unforgivable because he's been here many, many years.
Yeah.
He does not understand the British weather. What does he think is happening there?
What is it? Why is it so different from the French weather?
Why are your shoulders and hands going to get cold, but no way to forearms? Absolutely no way. Does he think that the bad weather starts 3.5 foot off the ground? then there's a warm spell, and then up round your head, it's absolutely perishing.
He thinks the British weather is layered like a Victoria sponge.
He does. He thinks it's a weather lasagna, doesn't he?
Len, in all your times, this is what you're one of the few callers who is not baffled by either Danny or myself, because it seems to be dividing the audience, and that's always been our aim in life. You call into both shows, Len. What has been your greatest triumph as a caller?
Oh, man. Probably grassing up Wally Downs.
Yes, the grassing up Wally Downs story. Now, could you give us the bare bones of that again?
I can indeed. When he was youth coach at Millwall.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the pomp and circumstance music under this, because this is a great story. It's a regal story. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the grassing up Wally Downs story, as told by Lennon Brentwood.
Well, Cousin Wally had a little bit of gardening to do because he was having an afternoon soiree at his house. And he's not the greatest gardener in the world, probably fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
However, just with the enlistment of the junior team, the youth team, I think, at Millwall, rather than training, he got them around his place and got them to sort out the garden quite wonderfully.
He got the youth team round to do his garden. Now, anyone can pull a story like that out of you. It could be fantasy. Did it have any repercussions?
Only in as much as we were all just absolutely stunned and just asked him who his personal gardener was. Until he actually gave the game away.
Mm. And then they had the Millwall youth team out there doing his garden. I was watching
Len,
recently... What?
Len, my friend, what goes around comes around. Wally Downs Sr. exploited the youthful enthusiasm and energy of the Millwall reserves. Guess who we have here making the tea right now at the station?
Uh-oh.
Wally Downs Jr., his son.
Has the most annoying habit in the world, of course. He's the person who stirs the tea but never gives it the two bangs at the end. Here is his tea-stirring technique. You can't leave it there. You can't. You have to do the rest of it.
Young Wally is a lovely fella.
It never came on top. And bless you, Len, for coming on the air, as you would, with a prepared story.
From Wickford.
You wouldn't believe.
Indeed, Wickford.
I know you're in Wickford now, but you wouldn't believe the amount of people who have come on here today just think it's the perfect place to take a 3-minute nap. prepared nothing, Len. And
Blacks, let's not forget where we came from. Let's learn to love and respect each other. Shuby Taylor. Shoo soo soo wah, shree da, tra la la wee, wee do saw, tra la la ha, dwee dee blah, wee dee saw, da raw, la da da shree, lo poo pa, la da da shro, wee dee saw, la da da raw, wee da da saw, pee pa, shree do bee, shree do do bee bee, wee da raw, sa ma da ha, sa ma ra, sa ma ha, ya, wee da saw.
We needed an heir to Jambo. We needed it. Now we've got Jambo released. We needed something else. Ladies and gentlemen. With ill-advised or ill-fitting Mac Fisheries style hairpieces. This will be men, and they go out like in the recent blizzard we had in London. I mean, who can forget how weird that was when we did the show recently? It was like this. If you'd have gone out with anything other than at least, you know, a string under the chin or
at
a mandatory
least.
Nine suckers.
A Raquel Welch.
Then you were exposing yourself to this sort of thing. This would have. There it goes. It starts to lift. It's lifting. Nothing you can do now. I'm going. She's going. and away it goes down the street. Now, we've been using that for a very long while, but I didn't know until good Mr. Salmon got in touch with us. There was a record dedicated to just such a problem.
Precisely that event.
A man who fancies a woman from afar, but he's had the ill-advised hairpiece fitted. It's only short, but it is called Blue Bayou, and here's just a smattering of it.
Bayou, I bought a rug to try and hide the lack of hair that was my pride. And all at once I thought I died when it flew by you. I'm going back out there to find my hair that blew by you. It was a black toupee with just a touch of gray that blew by you. I'll have no peace of mind without that peace of mind. My hair looks like baby's behind. I'm going back out there to find my hair that blew by you.